This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Pitch Talk with Olivia Cox and Rachel Daniel.
And now some of the less regular penalty takers have got to stand up and be counted. And I number amongst that list Gareth Southgate. And Kupka saved it!
This is Pitch Talk World Cup Edition on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, I hate to be the girl repeating the week, but it's finally coming home. Welcome to Pitch Talk.
I still don't think we can quite safely say that. You're going to curse us, Rachel Downey.
I'm not. I mean, I'm a powerful lady, but I don't know if I'm that powerful.
You know, it's funny with England, you always have to maintain this slight coolness because we have this spectacular ability to ball things up. And it just feels like we're on so many tenterhooks that I can't possibly, can it?
Yeah, do you know what? I'm doing it. I'm lunging as well. I think we can do. I think we can definitely get to Sunday. And you know what we need? I think out of the two, and we'll talk about this evening's game, France-Belgium, I think it's going to be Belgium and us. And you know what? If Belgium have a bad day, boom.
You know, I think it was about halfway through when we were playing Sweden that it suddenly hit me that we could actually do it. And you know when you do that thing that you start sort of counting down and making little bets with yourself and figuring out, negotiating how many wrong moves.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, there's 10 minutes. They might be able, oh, if they got a penalty now. Oh, there's only 5 minutes.
It's exhausting,
he might actually do it.
For you.
It is so stressful.
It is, isn't
but it?
It
was such an experience watching it in the pub with all the other football fans around me. Although the police have had to send out a slight warning after some of the fans didn't behave so well.
Yes, I saw that. And also, one thing I don't understand, I believe IKEA had quite a few break-ins after the England-Sweden win. Now, England, we won. I'm not saying if we lost, therefore you should steal from IKEA, but we won.
Respect the Swedes.
Like, come
we're
on not now. Angry.
Well, maybe it was British living Swedes who were so angry with their nation that they robbed IKEA.
I see what you did there. I'm liking it. I doffed my cap to you, my
darling.
Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely.
So on today's show, we have got former goalkeeper Richard Lee coming in very, very shortly. And then we will also be joined by football journalist Tom Williams, who, if you are veterans of Pitch Talk, you might recall from many moons ago.
Yes, I don't even know what day it is right now. I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like
all anybody knows is it's Sunday minus however many days it is to Sunday.
I feel very emotional. I know before, so I watched the game. I think we all probably watched it in a pub. A lot of us out and about. And the build-up towards the England game, when you see all the past games, you see Lineker playing, you see, you know, Gascoigne crying. It was so emotional, just that build-up. And it's a wonderful time to be over here.
It's a wonderful time to be English right now, but I do wonder how we're all going to be feeling this time in 2 days.
I know.
Well, we are obviously going to be covering a lot of preamble regarding, of course, our big clash with Croatia on Wednesday. But we're also going to be covering what we think might happen tonight. And also we'll have a little look back over the quarterfinal results over the last few days.
Yeah, so it was obviously Brazil-Belgium. It was 2-1 to Belgium, hence why the game's going on this evening. Belgium's victory ensured that Europe will have a World Cup champion with 4 European semi-finals.
I know.
First time since 1982. I'd like to say I wasn't born then, but I would be
fibbing.
No,
hang on. It happened in 2006.
Yeah, first time. for
first time, sorry.
Yeah, for the four European semi-finalists, mm-hmm. first time since 1984. Then obviously France, Uruguay 2-0. France now preparing obviously to face this evening, starting at 7 p.m. and obviously Croatia 2-2, which was the game after England beat Sweden. Russia's surprising World Cup run is over from penalties, where they lost 3-4.
That was a bit dramatic.
It was. Do you know what? Russia have done an amazing job. They really have. It was a tough one. Who would you prefer to have won to play against us tomorrow? I'm glad it's Croatia.
I'm really glad it's not the home nation. I think that because I think England, I mean, even some of the players have come out this week saying, come on, get on a plane, come and support us. And I think we're quite thin on the ground in terms of supporters in the stadium, and I think against the home side that might have been a bit of a psychological burden.
Yeah, good point, well made. It might have been, although I think they've had quite a big psychological burden when they played against Colombia.
That was flabbergasted. I actually watched that game with my mother, my poor 72-year-old mother, and I have never watched football with her. I have never shouted at a TV because I don't believe that it can help. But the profanities going down in Richmond in the front room, I mean...
I just love that sentence, the profanities going down in Richmond.
But you know...
Olivia Cox, everybody.
But you know, the Colombia's team doctor has now come out and admitted that he lied about James Rodriguez's injury.
Really?
Yeah, he said...
There's a shock. Someone from Colombia lied.
But you... Did you see that coming? Am I just too naive? He's saying it's all part of the game. I don't think it is. I think the game should be just played. There shouldn't be this psychological bullshit.
I mean, don't get me wrong. For tomorrow, if it gets to the point where, you know, we are winning 1-0, we've got a minute left of the game, if someone from our side were to roll over a little bit just to make the minute go until the end of the game, do it! Do whatever
but
we can!
But do not get booked.
No, do not get booked. Not at all. I know we spoke to Alison last week. She mentioned, actually, she was out in Russia looking forward to the game, and she mentioned the lack of England fans in Russia last week, but I believe now that's just completely
the tickets are going for absolutely crazy money.
Otherwise, range
from something like 350 to 11,000, but that's I think there are a lot now going on the black market, so apparently a lot of Russian fans bought up tickets to the final and now are just charging this extreme premium, which kind of it takes a bit of the love out, but again, I suppose you would.
Because also, you know, it's diehard fans. I mean, we've all, even people that don't support or follow a team or love football, love the World Cup. And everyone, Olivia's putting her hand up right now. She is. Olivia, you're not necessarily a big football fan.
I am completely in on footy fever. And that is a sentence I never thought I'd hear myself say.
It's a sentence I never thought you'd say. I feel like a proud mother. I really do.
I watched a really funny report recently on BBC News. And it was this England supporter. And he said that he'd bought a one-way ticket to Russia. And he wasn't coming back until we were beaten.
Till we were beat. We were knackered.
You know what? I think that is the exact phrase he used. But
that's
since
good.
I went to grammar school, I'm going to say beaten.
I like it. But it's good. And do you know what? I love all the stories coming out. And obviously, our England team, I mean, I said this last week as well, that, you know, we don't know what to expect from them because we've never seen, they're the youngest team out there. We've never seen these guys all play together. So we don't know what they're capable of.
And I think
of.
That is probably why Colombia really tried to mindfuck us, because they were trying to tap into the fact that we are a young team, we are inexperienced and probably more likely to fly off the handle. But bravo, boys, really kept their cool out there.
They did. There were moments, but they really, really did. And Harry Kane obviously did fantastic. And obviously not just saying that because I'm a big old Spurs fan, although the England team is riddled with Spurs. I do like these
riddled
stories.
Is the word.
I love riddled. Rach, are you all right? You look like you've got hay fever. Riddled. With hay fever. I love being riddled with things.
Little sideline there.
Yeah, I love it though. I like all. Yeah, so first of all, the superstitions. Are you. I can't say that word.
Am I superstitious?
Yeah.
I would rather not walk under a ladder, but that's mainly just because it could fall on my head.
It's a good point, well made.
Thanks. But I do touch wood, or try to, if I'm about to say something cocky. That came out really wrong. I think you know what I mean.
Again, that's my girl. I don't need to teach you anything. I don't know if I'm superstitious.
Tell me why you're asking this.
Well, I'm asking this because Dele Alli has admitted that his long list of superstitions are getting out of control, and out of control was in a quote, so obviously they are his exact words. The England midfielder has revealed that he will even wear tape on his leg, which he does not need, in tomorrow's World Cup semi-final against Croatia, just so that he does not have bad luck.
That's a bit like wearing your lucky pants on a date, isn't it?
It is. He says, I do all my right leg first. Oh, I love all this. Okay, so I've got the list here. So this is what Dele Alli is saying for all his superstitions. I do all my right leg first and all my left leg. I have an 8-minute ice bath the night before. I don't know why. It's just a superstition. Then I always say a prayer, the same prayer before the game.
That's cute.
And he said, now you might have noticed there's tape on my knee. That's a superstition as well. I don't like taking it
off. Or is he trying to lull us into a false sense of security that he's not injured? Actually, why would he do that? That would just be counterproductive.
That's absolutely counterproductive. Yep. And I, you know what? He can do anything he wants.
But presumably, if it is a superstition that he has maintained, then he has never gone through this bizarre ritual failed.
No. He added, and I like how they put here the Tottenham ace. Again, have I mentioned the Spurs? I took it off for the first game against Tunisia. This is a bit of a silly superstition, but that was the first game in ages. I haven't had it on and I got injured. So I'm going to be keeping it on again. Yeah, it's getting out of control. It's a bit crazy. Look, Ali, I'll be honest with you.
It's fully crazy.
A bit of tape. Ain't that crazy, my darling? But I like this. I like the fact that, and I think, yeah, don't break it. We've only got a few games left. Well,
yeah, I'm not willing to test the theory that it does or doesn't work. Let's just keep with it.
And I like the right side, but don't we all get ready? The right side first. I'm just thinking, like, when I put shoes on, I put the right shoe on first.
I don't think I ever think about it.
I think
what I try to do is just put my feet in the correct shoes.
Okay, that always helps.
Yeah.
Right in the right.
Not getting the wrong way around.
But that's good. I want to know your superstitions. Why don't you tweet us on this fine afternoon at FUBA Radio? I'd like some tweets.
Shall we talk a bit about the quarters?
Let's go for it.
So, we have had a lot of action since we last spoke to you. Of course, we did have the Colombia game, which we've briefly gone through. Mm-hmm. But we've also had Brazil-Belgium, which Belgium took. That, it was a good game, but it felt a bit one-sided. Sometimes when you feel that it's a little bit inevitable.
Yeah, and you know, but it's a shock, obviously, that Brazil went out. To be honest, the whole World Cup
is a shock. Because by this stage, it's inevitable that the big teams are going to go, because there's only 4 teams left.
I know.
We are 1/4 of the World Cup. Sorry, I digress.
But Belgium are very clinical. That's the thing. I do think.
Yeah, and then they hit the post. It was goal in a goalless match. Thiago Silva missed in front of an absolutely gaping net after Neymar's corner, and that was kind of that to me. Sealed the game. After that, it just felt like a no-brainer. It was a shame to see Brazil go, but.
Yeah, I know France are an amazing team. I know we're going to talk about France in a second, but I do think it's going to be Belgium. I think they're definitely
going
to get to the finals.
See, I was kind of thinking that it was probably going to be France because I was having a little look at this, and of all the final four, of which we are one, the most experience of semi-finals in the World Cup mm-hmm. goes to France. They've mm-hmm. been in 5.
Yeah.
We've only been in 2, mm-hmm. and then Croatia and Belgium have only had 1 each.
But I just think Belgium, they're so clinical. If you watch them, it's a thing of beauty. Apart from when they do play against us in the finals on Sunday when they're having a very bad day.
Yeah.
But that's all it takes. It doesn't, you know, these, at the end of the day, Belgium, France, France, Belgium, you just need one of the teams to be off for us to take over. But again, our confidence, if we win tomorrow, our confidence is going to be through the roof. Oh, it makes me nervous.
I know, it makes me so nervous. I'm actually getting little anxiety butterflies in my stomach.
I do love your little anxiety butterflies. I really do. Where are we watching the game tomorrow, Olivia?
So we are going to see Justin Timberlake, which I probably wouldn't have announced live on the World Cup show, but for the fact that JT recently, as in the last couple of hours, released a tweet saying that actually we're all going to be watching it from the O2. So a big screen is going up. He says he's had a word with the organisers.
I like this.
I don't know if he's going to be performing during. I suspect he's going to wait till after the game, which...
He can't... You can't... If you think about it, you can't put the screen up of the game.
His poor support acts aren't going to be heard.
They're going to want to hear... They're going to want to watch the game.
I know. So there are... If you are going to see Justin Timberlake tomorrow at the O2, then do not worry. He will be screening at other places that are screening mm-hmm. the game. The Bud Boat, which, of course, I went to the launch of a little while ago, that is state moored up at Embankment Pier on the Thames. Really nice. Nice. What an awful word. It's buzzing. It's got a really good atmosphere.
That's a better word.
Downstairs is a bit pokey, but on the roof, or on the deck, I guess you call it, it's great. There's big screens, big bars. I believe they only sell Bud. Just saying.
Okay.
If you don't like Bud, then don't go. But it's a really cool one. Hyde Park, which you did have to get tickets for, I believe might be sold out. Mm-hmm. And of course, Flatiron Square. And if you're going to Wimbledon, to the men's final on Sunday, because there was talk about whether or not Wimbledon might move their final. I mean, I do think it's a bit
crazy,
arrogant for football to be like, oh, please, tennis, move your international tournament. But they have finally said that tennis spectators are going to be allowed to watch football. Now, I don't know how far this is going to go, because in my mind, if you were a football fan and your team scored a goal in the World Cup final, you might just leap out your seat, which would be a tad distracting.
Do you know what I really felt? Again, I'm a little bit of a side note just to share with the group.
Sorry about that.
My brother, who, again, huge football fan, he had a kid's birthday party on Saturday. And this party, this house, they didn't have TVs. They don't believe in TVs. My poor brother.
What? Did he watch it on his phone?
He bought his own TV.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
What, just plugged it in?
Yeah, he's actually like, look, this is history. I'm watching it.
I think, was it last Tuesday that we played Columbia? I think it was. And I left the show and had to go to an event. And so I had this all meticulously planned. I had it recording on the TV. I'd warned my mother, do not touch the TV. She was going to touch the TV. I showed her exactly what buttons she couldn't press. She lived in anxiety the entire day.
Yeah.
And then I got in the car to go home, and I suddenly realised, with a wash of genius, I could download the ITV Hub app.
It's amazing, isn't it?
So I watched the first half
any place, anywhere.
In the car. Don't know if my driver was too happy because it was sort of, from the back. Or maybe he loved it.
I was going to say, best drive of his life, Olivia.
And then I scooted in the door. Unfortunately, in that moment, as I left the taxi and got through the front door, that was when we scored our goal, our first goal.
It's a mockery of a sham wrapped up in a sham of a mockery. What was that? That was Big Breakfast. Anyway, on that note,
what?
I'm going to give you guys a, do you remember Big Breakfast? No?
Yes, of course. I'm Five Alive.
I don't remember Five Alive.
What? Anyway. No, sorry, not Five Alive. That was a drink. Alive and Kicking.
I remember Alive and Kicking. I'm about 100 years old. I remember these all.
Five Alive.
Apart from Five Alive. Here is a recap of how our wonderful, beautiful England got the first semi-finals in 28 years.
If you had said to the players when I started at Crystal Palace that I was going to be upheld as the sartorial model for the country, you'd have been hooted out of the training ground. As a centre half with a face like I've got, then that's a very rare position to be in. I'm not David Beckham, so we're in trouble.
Trippier's out, swinger. Maguire Kane has stolen it of the death. That's what he's there for. A pile of English joy. England beats Tunisia by 2-1.
Maguire, what a goal that is. John Stones with it. England make the breakthrough. It's 2-0. It's emphatic from Harry Kane. Lingard latches onto it after Cooper can't keep hold of it. Jesse Lingard, 3-0. Flick forward by Henderson. Back in across goal and almost a fourth, and now it is. John Stones again. England 6, Panama 1.
And it comes down to 5 kicks each from 12 yards. Back up. Pickford stops it. Eric Dyer places the ball on the spot. And England win on penalties.
I don't need to talk too much about the history of that for our supporters, but that's huge credit to the players for executing the plan, but also so many staff, some that are with us, some that are back in England, who've worked on that project. And, you know, tonight it's come good.
Who's on the end of it? England are on the end of it. And it is Maguire. Harry Maguire's first international goal. Oh, it's into a useful area here. It's into a very good area. It was out to the head of Dele Alli. The ball is into the Sweden net. England may be going into the semi-finals of the World Cup.
All I know is that the managers that have got to semi-finals before people I hugely respect, and
to be involved with the team now at this stage is an incredible feeling.
Yeah, that is how our wonderful, beautiful England. Do you know what? I still get nervous. I'm just a nervous wreck, really.
You're not. Rachel is quietly confident. I think I'm the one who's more anxious. I think if anyone's going to curse with the commentator, it's going to be you.
Yeah, it's kind just of so. Just putting it out there. Well, on that note, welcome back. This is Pitch Talk. This is our World Cup edition.
Fourth World Cup show.
It's good, isn't it?
Can't believe it.
Still
it's gone
standing.
So quickly.
It has. It's the emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, it has been a bit fraught. I feel like I might go grey soon.
Yeah, well, I probably have.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say no one will know because I highlighted my hair. So.
It's just a secret.
See ya.
But in the studio right now, we are joined by a guest. Let's welcome Richard Lee. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Wait, I think I've got applause. Give me a moment. It's Richard Lee.
It's quite an annoyingly long applause. That it's like, come on,
it's nice and awkward and embarrassing, and I quite like it. How are you today?
Oh, very well. How are you?
We're very good, thank you.
We are very good.
Are you? First of all, before we start talking about anything, are you nervous for England? Are you buzzing? How are you feeling?
Not so nervous now. It's a nice feeling about
like
this group. Yeah.
Is this the calm before the storm?
I think it's the calm before. I feel confident going into tomorrow. I think that Croatia haven't been particularly good. And I think England have improved and they look solid.
Yeah.
I think if we make the final, I'll be very nervous for that. But no, I feel okay about this. I feel quite good.
Yeah, I feel like Croatia have kind of, they've gone through by the seat of their pants. They kind of, it feels like a lot of decisions have gone their way. A lot of things have happened slightly by fluke. But then
Until now.
Anyone could see that about anyone.
Until this moment in time.
Yikes.
And this evening's game, France-Belgium, who do you think is going to do it?
It's going to be tight. Again, both teams. So France are getting better and better. They started very slowly.
Yep.
They were actually quite poor first couple of games.
And they were one of the favourites, really, to go into this.
They were, but they've got stronger and stronger, and they've got an unbelievable squad.
Yeah.
Similarly, Belgium. This is their time.
I think so.
If there is a time for Belgium, it's now. They're from 1 to 11, they're so strong. Obviously, beating Brazil. I fancy Belgium tonight. I think it'll be really tight. I think it'll go to extra time, but I think Belgium will.
Extra time and not penalties, or extra time?
No,
penalties?
I think they'll do it in extra time.
Oh, interesting. I don't think we've not seen that yet, have we? In this World Cup, no one's just gone to extra time. Everyone's
true.
There's been a lot going through.
Yeah, they've all
gone
to penalties. Yeah,
that gets me. That I can't cope. I just can't cope.
You know what? I felt for you last week when I was watching the Colombia game because I knew how nervous you were about it. And when it went to penalties, like we had such a short amount of extra time left, and then they bloody got a goal.
I was watching it.
I thought it was in the bag.
No, again.
Did you guys watch it together then? Or?
No.
I was watching it with my other half, and when penalties were happening, I was going in between rooms, and I was like, when I was in the other room, I was like, well, this is ridiculous because I'm nervous and I can hear.
Well, I got
can
so
hear.
Stressed out and nervous, I had to go upstairs and paint my nails and then come back down because Mum was making me. I was watching with my 72-year-old mother, who is an absolute gem, but she was getting nervous about it too, and she hates football, and it was just sort of this weird.
The thing I love about it is how it is literally bringing, I sound so naff, but the nation together.
It is.
When I live in a flat and there's lots of flats around me, when we won last week, everyone came out on the balconies, everyone was cheering, and we were doing that for a good few minutes, but then it was like a very awkward British thing of, okay, let's get back in. don't look at them, darling. Get in. Bolt the door.
But some people didn't do so well. There was those awful people who were jumping on that ambulance.
Yeah, there's always a few. But no, generally, you're right. You went outside, there was music everywhere. And it's the first time that I can remember since 1990, showing my age, but 1990, where there was a really good feeling then.
Yeah.
And it's the first time where everyone seems to like the squad. And they are a likeable squad.
They really are.
Have you seen them training today with a rubber chicken?
I haven't.
Oh, I saw that actually on there.
It's
on
my
the
new favourite
today.
Thing. One team has a red one, one team has a blue one. And I assume it's something to do with agility, because when you sort of swing this chicken, the neck kind of goes outwards.
It's brilliant. And what I love is Ashley Young today. Has said if we get to the final, it would be the best holiday I've been on.
I know.
To be honest with you, it would be the best holiday any of us would say. Great way of just saying this. bloody brilliant.
So, Richard, you actually represented England in under 18 and under 20. What's it like representing your country?
God, such a long time ago. No, it was it was awesome. I mean, I think back now. In fact, you just mentioned Ashley Young. He was in the same squad as me at Watford. So it's really pleasing to see someone like him who, interestingly, was released at 16. So at 16 years old at Watford, they decided he wasn't good enough. So they didn't give him a contract.
They are kicking themselves.
Well, no, because what he did, he went back to Watford and said, look, can I train for free? You don't have to pay me, just let me train. He did a year of that, and then 3 years later they sold him for, I think it was $9 million, to Aston Villa, and obviously he's gone on, he's now playing in a World Cup. So an amazing story.
That's just proper rags to riches.
Most kids would have just
incredible.
Given up.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he fully deserves it then. He deserves a holiday.
He does. He deserves to win the World Cup. He really, really does. And you've also written two books. One of the books, Graduation, Life Lessons of a Professional Footballer. It's tough, and you've really pointed out in that book the struggles and the mental struggles you have to overcome and the anxiety. First of all, what made you compelled in writing that book?
I had a really unique season. So I left Watford, I joined Brentford. I went there to play because it was the league below. I went there to play and soon enough realised that the manager wasn't a big fan of me. I went from first choice to third choice. And it was just one of them seasons where we had a Wembley appearance. I got a few injuries. I ended up getting player of the season. We beat Everton in the cup penalty shootout, 5 penalty shootouts in one season. It was just one of those seasons. I thought, actually, it's a really good platform for this. And I did a lot of studying on psychology, so neuro-linguistic programming. So I did, and it was something that I thought, actually, it's a really nice platform to write a book on mindset, talk a bit about goalkeeping, a bit about football, all within a story.
Yeah, and you mentioned as well in the book, hypnotherapy. So are these all things that you yourself had to go through?
I tried. Do you know what it was I got really nervous. I always used to get really nervous before games. So it was then trying to figure out why one game can I feel really confident and the next just feel dreadful, lethargic, and I'm questioning everything that I'm doing. So it was more really like personal growth. And then when I got into that, it took me down other routes and, yeah, I mentioned wrote a book, did a degree. I just went and did all these crazy things alongside football, really. But it was, a lot of it was based on football, based on the fact that I couldn't understand why one day you'd wake up and feel the butterflies in your stomach and then the next day feel fine, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of pressure on especially younger players because you haven't necessarily had those experiences in life to really equip you to deal with that kind of thing. Do you 100%. Think England as a young team, do you think they might have had more psychological struggles, or do you think actually that's helped them gel?
It's a great point. This is what's helped them. I look at Jordan Pickford and I'm so glad we let in that last minute goal against Colombia, because had we not, we'd have gone into the quarter final and they were already questioning him after the Belgium game. Like, you had Gary Neville and a few other guys saying, oh, he's not up to it, and questioning whether they should have saved the goal, which was a great goal, the Belgium goal against them. But all of a sudden they score that goal, he saves the penalty, he's a bit of a hero, plays brilliantly the last game, and now you think of the difference in perception from a week ago when people
he's
were
he's a hero now.
Oh, he's a hero. And after the Belgium game everyone's saying, you know, is he going to be a calamity? But this is how quickly, and being a goalkeeper in particular, you're more often
you're
than not the villain.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I mean, and you would know that because that is
God, been it. you've seen me play.
No, you are not the villain, you're the goalkeeper. But is that a very particular breed of anxiety, because you are so one-on-one sometimes with the attackers?
Oh, massively. Well, if you have a game and nobody notices you, more often than not, that's a good game for a goalkeeper, which
so
is strange.
You kind of want to be the grey man.
The similarities. Yeah. I haven't heard that, but yeah, similarities to the referee. If the referee comes through the game and no one's talked about him, he's probably had a good game.
Yeah.
Often that's similar for a goalkeeper, so it's a bit weird. Like, whereas a striker, you want to be the hero.
Yeah.
For a goalkeeper, you almost want to not be noticed.
Sometimes you want to just slide under the radar.
I couldn't be a goalkeeper.
I see. So when we were at Sandhurst, we were always told, be the grey man, don't be exceptional because you'll be given extra duties, don't be really diabolically shit because you'll be put on extra duties as a punishment. Just cruise, find your happy medium.
I like that. It's a good way of living through life. I'm just going to cruise.
Just go with the flow.
Just going to be the green man.
Yeah, I do try. So Jordan Pickford, of course, he followed up his penalty shootout heroics in the last 16 tie against Colombia with another stellar display on Saturday. Do you think he will continue this reign of pride, or do you think the nerves might get to him?
No, do you know what? The biggest thing I'd say, the biggest compliment I have for him is that he just seems fearless. Like he seems.
Is that age? Is that youth?
Do you know what? I don't know. No, I don't. I think it's probably a bit simple. I think he, admittedly, he says himself, he's a bit daft. Like he's, and all goalkeepers have to be a little bit crazy. That is true. And he, you can see, he doesn't seem to take it in. Like he doesn't seem to be that bothered, even after the Belgian game. Like,
sometimes he's a bit sort of meh.
Yeah, it was, which is the exact attitude you need for a keeper.
Doesn't That's really understand maybe what's happening. Or maybe.
Which is perfect.
It's true, actually.
As far as he's concerned, he's going out and playing with his mates.
Yeah. That's brilliant. That's
Because he is relatively short, isn't he, for a goalkeeper?
He's taller than me, but he is.
But it does seem
to be tiny. No, you're right.
But looking at some of the other goalkeepers in this World Cup, some of them are monsters.
Giants.
They are absolutely huge. Yeah. And they really seem to have taken to sort of trying to intimidate the penalty takers when they're on the run up to the goal. Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's again all
the mind game.
I could be a proper goalkeeping geek now and I can give you all the
Go
psychology.
Yeah,
okay,
do it.
Penalty taker coming up. You look at how they place the ball. Have they put like the wording facing a corner? What's the angle of their run up? If it's straight, they're probably going to go across you. If it's a centre back, they're probably going to blast it. If it's a tricky winger, they're probably going to come back across themselves. If they're looking into one of the corners subconsciously before the kick, they're probably going to put it there. There's thousands of things that happen.
So it's
Did you see, Pickford on that penalty shootout, even a silly thing, the guy's gone up and put the ball on the spot. Pickford's walked to the corner. It was almost like, you know, you're going for a meeting and you're in the office and you're waiting. He's made them wait for him, you know.
Oh,
he had his chest stuck out. He was like almost like an animal, like looking really strong and fierce. All these tiny, tiny little details
looking
that goalkeepers
fierce
do.
And his lime green.
Yeah, that probably didn't help.
Doesn't really work that much.
No.
I've read that you were on Dragon's Den.
Yes.
Tell me about
that. That was interesting. Yeah, I went on Dragon's Den and got an investment into one of the companies that I have.
Yeah.
Again, it was just one of those things when I got into all the mentality stuff and thought, actually, like, why not? Why not try? I love goalkeeping, but I've always had a keen eye on business and it's something that interests me. So we applied and went through a few different rounds and, yeah, got on the show. I did similarly for Come Dine With Me and a couple of others.
Yeah.
I don't know, it was one of them, like, we thought we had something, we quite liked our idea, what's the worst that could happen? So
it's
we went
true.
On there and the Dragons were, I remember the day itself because I'd had a game the night before up near Manchester, got down to London at like 3 a.m, had to be up at 5 a.m. for Dragon's Den. I was so tired and had to do the pitch and I stumbled halfway through my pitch and forgot my pitch.
No, you can't
do that. They were killing me.
What's more terrifying, facing the Dragons or...
Football.
Okay.
Yeah. Done. Okay. Signed, sealed, delivered. You're also a speaker as well.
Yeah.
What is that, just because you like to test yourself and push yourself? Is it hard to find that same adrenaline rush when you were playing in your...
That's a good point. I hadn't even thought of about that. I think it was more that...
Now I am.
Now you've
shit scared.
Oh, God.
Now just trying to get another high. Yeah, I didn't think of it like that. Maybe you're right. No, do you know what? I just think that, like, I'm going in, for instance, Friday to Bucks Uni, and I do a lot of universities and like sort of sixth form and year 9, year 10. I just think when you're that kind of age, and I've been there, where you don't really know what's going on. You don't know yourself. Yeah. You learn everything at school other than yourself, really.
Yeah.
So I quite like the ability to go in and just tell stories, and hopefully the fact that I have done, you mentioned, I've obviously played in the Premier League, I've gone on Dragon's Den, I've done, you know, done a degree, written a book, so I've just done stuff, and I just think you see so many kids that end up going into the same line of work as maybe their dads that they don't really want to do.
Yeah.
The whole idea you live once and you do something you don't like makes no sense to me whatsoever. So
I'd hate to be young again. I mean, I'd like it, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I think now it's very difficult because of all social media, but it probably is very nice having a role model such as yourself who has something a little bit more to you than just, oh, I liked sport, so I did sport.
Yeah,
it's quite cool to actually come out and go into business, write a book.
One of my pet hates is the motivational speakers that will talk a lot of theory, and it's easy to be like, oh, you know, you need to believe, and they haven't actually done anything, you know, like, no.
I know those, yeah.
But
yeah, you've met a few of them.
Just believe.
Yeah.
What, me?
I'm bitter and twisted. I don't want to believe. It's all too hard. I've been told, well, actually, I think we'd all like it. Would you like to stay a little bit longer? We've got another guest
absolutely.
Coming on. Would you like, you're just like, yeah, I'm staying in.
As long as the coffee. He's free then.
Oh, well, actually,
whose mug have you got?
I've got Sarah's.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you can stay.
Oh, happy days.
We've got a list of songs here, although we haven't got the one that everyone is like bleeding through the ears with. But I want to play this song. So we'll be back in a few minutes and we're going to get Tom Williams in the studio. But I want to play We're On the Ball by Anton Deck.
Yes.
Classic. We'll be right back.
we get the Germans.
Yeah, that's We're on the Ball by Anton Deck.
Did you hear that bit at the end? I've never noticed that before. Can I have my ball back, please?
Is that your...
I know, that was really bad. I don't even know what that was aiming for.
And Livy, you did ask me if the song came before Biker Grove or Biker Grove came before the song. It was Biker Grove, that's how they started, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, no, Rachel Downey, what you said to me was it's a little bit duck and egg.
Yeah, like... Then we read
so no, what you said was not it was Biker
Grove. People never know it if it's... I realise now it's a chicken, but it's... Chicken or the egg? Does the... Yeah. No, it's a duck.
No,
a
it's
duck
not.
Turns
it's
into
a chicken,
doesn't it? Oh, shut
no.
up.
No.
Anyway.
A chick turns into a chicken and a duckling turns into a duck.
Like,
get out.
I left school years ago.
Did you go to school?
No, well, I left at like 15, so that's my excuse.
Did they not teach you what a duck was at age 15? Oh, dear mate.
Oh, no. Tom Williams, you're in the studio. Wait, hey. I'm doing it again. Tom Williams, you're in the studio.
Hello. Oh, that's very nice. Thank you very much. Hi. Too kind. You're too kind.
Anytime, anytime. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, loving the World Cup.
Yes.
And the weather and everything else.
I've got good times. I've got here. Oh, by the way, Tom, Richard, Tom.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Mm-hmm. I'm here. I'm very polite. I've got a little note here saying you've been following the World Cup religiously and you've been tweeting very funny images.
Have I?
Ooh, yes. Images of what?
Yeah, that suddenly sounds a little bit dubious, doesn't it?
Yeah. Not again, Tom. Gotta stop doing
Yeah, football. Thursday. Football images.
Football-related funny. I mean, there have been a lot of memes that have come out.
A lot of memes, yeah. I can't get involved in the whole "it's coming home" thing though, because I'm Welsh, so I don't necessarily want it to come home.
Oh, hang on.
So
are you not supporting? Wait. Who are you supporting throughout this World
I'm
Cup?
I'm studiously neutral. I'm a football journalist, so I'm always neutral, but I'm particularly neutral at the moment.
Yeah, but I say that, but I always want Spurs to win.
No, you absolutely do not.
Yeah, I know, I'm a liar.
Not.
I'm an actual liar.
There is nothing neutral about Rachel.
Nothing at all.
Because many, many people who are not English will support anyone but the English.
Yeah, I'm not that bad.
Okay, fine.
I'm not that bad.
You
no, I mean, I it's been great watching England. I sort of hope they win it, but I can't.
What do you mean,
like,
you sort of hope? Get a little angry here.
No, I think this is good. We've got a bit of conflict. Conflict is good.
I mean, if you're not English, if you're Welsh or Scottish, you can't support.
No,
England.
I feel
you're
like everybody does. No, they do. They jump on the bandwagon and they just assume it's kind of Great Britain.
Yeah.
For that moment.
Yeah, not for me.
Or they go the other way and they're like, nah.
I was in the pub the other night for the England-Columbia game, which was a brilliant game to watch. And, you know, sort of got swept up in the whole thing.
Tense.
But I couldn't cheer England winning. I was pleased they'd won. That's as far as I'll go.
One is pleased.
Yeah, you're going to have to kind of fake it, though, I think. If you go to the pub tomorrow night and when we win, just fake the cheers. Because I'll be coming up and slapping you.
Yeah, I might just slink out at that point.
Make
a tactical exit.
You said there you're loving the World Cup. Like, what is it? What games have stuck out to you so far?
It's just been a really exciting World Cup from start to finish. I was at the last World Cup in Brazil, and that was a brilliant World Cup initially. And then as the competition wore on and the games got more and more important, I wouldn't say the quality dropped so much, but the games became less exciting. And I think what's happened in this World Cup is the quality has been sustained. We've seen some really exciting knockout matches. I mean, the first knockout match, France-Argentina 4-3.
Incredible.
Messi gets knocked out of the competition. Kylian Mbappe emerges as the new superstar of the tournament. And that just set the tone. You had that crazy Belgium-Japan game where Japan go 2-0 up and are on the brink of one of the shocks of the tournament.
I felt sad for
Japan. Belgium come back to win
3-2
in injury time and are now on the brink of the final. So, yeah, from purely in terms of the quality of the football, it's been a treat. And now you've got the added element of the penalty shootout, so like an extra layer of tension. And also what that means is that you might have a game that isn't all that exciting, but you can't not enjoy a penalty shootout. You can't not have a dramatic
penalty shootout.
I don't
know if I enjoy
that one.
Love, hate.
Okay, I'll ask both of you, what is your opinion on Sterling? Because I thought he was pretty rubbish. His nerves were obviously knocked. He should have been sent off. Maybe Loftus-Cheek probably put in his place. But it's divided. When you read reports on him, it's massively divided, and people are really rating him. What do you, Richard, what do you think of Sterling?
I like having him in the team.
Lovely. No.
No, I'd start him personally. I just think he gives something a little bit different. Yeah, his finishing has been horrendous. Mm-hmm. Not going to lie.
Yeah.
But I think he does give something a little bit different, and I quite like seeing Rashford come on a little bit later and energy and everything else. So I like that as a combination.
You're for him. What about you, Tom?
No, I agree with Dickie. I keep Sterling in the team. I think what he has something that no one else in that England squad has: this ability to beat players. The runs he makes are really interesting, and you look at the way that all his teammates have been talking him up after that game shows how valued he is. His finishing clearly hasn't been great. He's not scored an England goal for something like 2 years. So I think it's legitimate to want a little bit more from him than what we've seen so far. But yeah, I think he deserves his place in the team.
Well, also, ex-England and Manchester United pair David Beckham and Gary Neville have also voiced their support. So I think that kind of seals the deal, no?
Well, if Beckham says it, then
that's
done. And I was going to ask you, what has been the secret to England's success? But one thing, obviously, Southgate, when he first became England manager, I actually probably foolishly, well, obviously foolishly, because he wasn't a big name, a big star, you kind of think, what is this quiet man going to do? Never listen to me, basically, people. But I wasn't the only one who thought this. The FA chairman, Greg Dyke, in 2016, he said that English football was in such a desperate state that no one should dream of any real success until the 2022 World Cup. Southgate, notorious for missing a penalty and being sacked as the manager of Middlesbrough, was just there as a stopgap. Mm. So, you know, what did you guys think?
Do you know what? I think for me, it was just... And I was, in fairness, I think, like most people, a little bit unsure of the appointment.
Thanks, mate.
Not that I wanted Sam Allardyce to continue,
no,
because he wasn't a favourite either. But yeah. I think what Gareth Southgate has done is his attention to detail has been so good. Even to the point, like the press day was genius, you know, having everybody, like an NFL setup where everybody's getting interviewed rather than always having one person there. The communication that's been coming out, getting the press involved that much more has obviously helped. The players are likeable. I actually wrote a piece on a real small bit of information, but Jordan Pickford, every time in the penalty shootout, no one would have seen this, but every time that someone scored, he picked up the ball and he walked and gave it to each taker.
I noticed
this. Did you notice that? It was such a small thing.
I actually didn't think they were allowed to do that.
Well, the reason was, and this is where it goes back to like controlling what you can control. So I think apparently Southgate, when he missed in 96, he had to go and get the ball from wherever it was. I think someone had kicked it away. So he had to go and get it. He was in a rush, put it down, hit a bad penalty. It was saved. We lost. So he made the point of Jordan Pickford, right, go and give the ball to every single player that's taking it so that they can then mentally rehearse exactly what's going to happen. You know, Jordan Pickford's going to give you the ball. You're going to go and put it on the spot. And they practice those penalties so many times to make sure that they had it nailed. And I don't know, I just think for me, the attention to detail and everything he's done, even his waistcoat, it's just perfect.
Oh, this waistcoat.
Oh, I'm so pleased you've raised the waistcoat. There's an article in Grazia today, which I took a picture of because it just made me lol. It said, it's time to get wasted. And it's saying that Marks & Spencer have reported that sales of waistcoats are up 35%. Oof. And they're calling this the Southgate effect. Would you wear a waistcoat?
I always think a man just wearing a waistcoat and a shirt who isn't at a wedding looks a little bit odd.
I used to date a guy who used to wear a waistcoat and I just couldn't take him seriously.
That's the risk you run. Maybe Gareth Southgate is single-handedly revolutionising the waistcoat.
What do you think of Southgate? What did you think originally of him?
I've always really liked him. He's always been a slightly unusual footballer in that he's... Mm-hmm. I should watch what I say with a former footballer in the room, but someone who's renowned for, you know, for his intelligence, you know, for being very sort of thoughtful, like not your typical footballer in many ways.
Yes. And
when he got the job, I was covering England at that time. I went to a lot of his first press conferences, and he's a really impressive guy. And one of the things that impressed me about him the most was that when a manager's in a press conference or a press briefing, he knows he's going to be asked questions that he doesn't want to answer. Most managers will respond in one of two ways. Either they just don't really answer it, or that they answer the question that they were hoping to be asked. So they give you some like sort of answer. A bit like a politician. What Southgate does, and I honestly can't think of another manager who does it as well, is he engages with the question in a really creative way and does it really quickly, answers really fully, but doesn't give the answer that everyone was expecting. Because if you're sitting in a press conference and a manager gets asked a question, very often you know exactly the answer that the question asker is hoping for and that every other journalist in the room is hoping for. You're sort of setting a trap for him to fall into. And Southgate is really good at seeing the trap that's been set for him, but giving an answer that gives the journalist something to chew on that isn't just like completely stonewalling it. And that's just one element. I mean, he's just a very bright guy, and he's very sort of clear-headed.
Very compassionate. And this will be his redemption, won't it? I think now, anyway, coming back, he will be a hero. But if we get through to the final, I mean, he'll be almost knighted, I think.
I reckon he probably would be.
If we win it.
Services to football.
Yes, that's a good point. If we win
services
it.
Services to the whole country. Services
to waistcoats.
Bars.
To waistcoats. And what I love about the waistcoat fact is, even in Russia, the Moscow branch of M&S has run out of most sizes of the waistcoat.
I love this.
I don't know what to make of it, really.
I think it means that people like the waistcoat.
Yeah. I also like Three Lions is on course to top the UK singles chart.
I heard that I think it was downloaded something like a million times or played a million times on Saturday, which is crazy. Think of the royalties that they'll be pulling in from that.
The royalties would be amazing. We need to write a song, Olivia. Well, there's a lot to this, I understand. And it's going to be like just a Christmas song or a football song.
I have a statistic that I'd like to float past the gentleman.
Not gentlemen.
6% of men surveyed would skip their own wedding or resign from their job in order to watch England in a World Cup final.
Only 6%? Oh, was that? Oh, no, genuinely, I thought it'd be.
When did I get married?
They'd skip their own wedding.
We played the game at my wedding. It was Euros. When did I get married? 6 years ago. Oh, 6 years ago. It was Euros. We played the game at my
wedding.
Was
it a big game or was it just like...
Or was it a big wedding? That was a huge game and we played it.
Did you say it to him or did he say it to you?
We both did.
There you go. Surely that... I don't know. I'm very biased.
That's a little
bit
different. That's not missing your wedding.
But I mean, generally speaking, like, you know, several years in advance when the big tournaments are coming up. Yeah. So who organise?
Who books their wedding on a football day?
Leave June and July free. I mean, you know, you got the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's a good point. So basically, you two on wedding day, if there's a big game, you'd cancel the wedding. Oh yeah, what would you do? Good question, Rachel.
I wouldn't book it in the first place. I would not book a wedding during a tournament.
No,
I think that's
a bit of foresight.
I think that's the safest way to go around it.
But what if your wife-to-be really, really loves June and July? Then she wouldn't be a wife-to-be.
That's very strange. That's very strange to have that kind of connection with 2 months of the year. I'll start to question her as a person.
It's kind of true.
Okay, fair one.
That's amazing. Okay. But it's a good point about you. Well, I was going to say, what about you, Olivia? But no, you wouldn't get...
I wouldn't get overexcited about a football game, no, mate.
No, you really wouldn't.
I would be a bit devastated if I was getting married and my husband-to-be decided to watch football over see me look beaut. But I'd maybe understand.
No, you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't. That's such a load of bullshit.
Don't pretend.
He'd be divorced before he was married.
Yeah, he would. Extra flights are being put on for fans wishing to make the journey. It's expected a trip to Moscow will cost, at the very minimum, a whopping £3,000.
Well, yeah, and then maybe 10,774. I don't know why it's that precise for a pair of World Cup tickets. Oof. For the final.
Is that understandable in a way that, you know, if you're a die-hard fan, that people do pay those prices? Is that...
Yeah, completely. I mean, like, if England win the World Cup, something that, like, our generation has never lived through
before.
Yeah,
but we can all watch it on a screen.
It's not the same, is it?
Your
grandkids are not going to be... Oh,
to be there.
Why don't you tell us about the time you watched the World Cup final on telly again, like all those other millions of people. if you're there in Moscow,
face
paint and everything.
Isn't there a part of you, though, if you were there... This is a bit, I think, though. You go there and it's like they win it and it's amazing. Then you just want to see all your mates.
Yeah.
And you want to be like, they're back
own.
In home.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll go out in Moscow on my own.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, that's the trade of it. I mean, I guess the way to get around that is just to go with all your mates.
Yeah,
but so you have to find a load of mates who are crazy enough to want to spend the amount to buy a large car. Is that how much a car's worth?
I have no
idea.
Know.
I don't drive.
I don't buy things.
That's such a random sentence. Let's talk about tonight's game, France-Belgium. Tom, what do you think the result will be? And what kind of game do you think it'll be? Game of
it goals? Could be a really exciting game in that you've got two teams with lots of really exciting attacking players who both played some really exciting football at times. France beating Argentina 4-3 and Belgium beating Brazil, which is probably the biggest result in the history of the Belgian national team.
It's amazing.
They're two teams with lots of pace. You like to counter-attack. I think my one concern would be that the French manager Didier Deschamps is quite conservative, so he will not be wanting both teams to go at it hammer and tongs. But yeah, there's potential for it to be exciting.
I like how it's dubbed the derby between pals.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote a piece about this today, actually. I mean, these countries and the teams that represent them are about as similar as two World Cup semi-finalists have ever been. They're neighbouring countries with a shared language. Their players all play in the same clubs. A lot of Belgians' players have played in France. Yeah. Thierry Henry, the greatest striker in the last sort of 30 years of French football, is a member of the Belgian coaching staff. So
he's on
all
tonight,
sorts of overlaps.
He's the assistant manager for the Belgian team tonight.
Yeah. So interesting subplots.
So what do you think? Who's going to be the winner?
I'm going to say France.
Ooh, you said Belgium, didn't you?
I think Belgium are going to nick it. It's going to be tight. I said extra time, Belgium.
I like this. And so therefore, let's talk about tomorrow's game. Oh. Obviously, you don't feel any nerves. Do you really feel nothing, man? I mean, I know you're not.
No, I mean, I get the excitement and,
I get why the nation's a little bit
but
excited.
But it's just not my team. It's like asking you if you'd be, okay, mate, it's different, I suppose, for English people.
Because you live in our country.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. God,
yeah, I do.
Keep it going.
No, that's all I got.
Bash him down. What do you think the game's going to be like tomorrow night for us? For me.
We're watching it together.
We are.
I think it'll be more tense than England-Sweden was, just because I think Croatia are a more dangerous team.
Well, yeah, and also that was actually a relatively easy game.
Yeah. I don't know about Croatia. I mean, they've got a heck of a lot of talent. I don't know whether... Yeah, whether we've really seen that in the knockout stages yet. I think it'll be quite a cagey one. I can see Croatia having a lot of the ball because the sort of players they've got. Mm-hmm. I think England should do it, though. That'd be my
Have you seen that the Croatian coach has said that his side have already managed to stop Messi and so can cope with England's Harry Kane?
I mean, fair point, I'd say. I mean, England are better than Argentina, so it's only valid up to a point. But if you stop Messi playing, you'd feel relatively confident.
You'd be a little bit cocky, wouldn't you? Yeah. Let's be honest.
Some people are saying that Croatia is going to be England's toughest challenge yet. Do you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's probably their toughest game.
Yeah. I mean, they played Belgium in the group phase, but both teams rested all their most important players. So this will be, by some distance, the biggest challenge that they've had so far.
Oh, I got butterflies. What do you think the game's going to be like tomorrow?
I think it will be really tense. I think it will go to a penalty shootout again.
Oh, God.
I do. I think Croatia have been pretty poor, really. Especially with some of the players in midfield, there's a lot made of. Great midfield they've got. Yeah, I think it will go to penalties, but I think England will win. I think they will win on penalties.
Croatia have had to go to penalties to beat both Denmark and Russia. Mm. So, I mean, they are kind of scraping through.
They're not great. Mentioned the Belgian game. England, it was brilliant that we found this half of the draw.
Yes,
you know,
I agree.
There was a lot of questions about
that. We've been lucky in that respect.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
To have had a tournament like this where you play, obviously, the group we had, which was reasonably easy, then Colombia, Sweden, Croatia to get to a World Cup final is unheard of.
So, yeah.
Let's not knock ourselves down there.
No, let's not. But, yeah, this is as good a chance. And I think that we are... there's not a lot in the two teams, but and they've got their own narrative going on over there, so I'm sure as much as we see it as being our year, they see it exactly the same. This is their golden generation.
So, genuine question, because I don't know, thank you, much about football. if we win tomorrow, i.e. England, and Belgium win, obviously we've already played Belgium.
Yes.
Is that still just like allowed? We just play.
That is allowed.
There's no aggregate.
Yeah. Okay. No.
Yeah.
One off. No, they just cancel the World Cup.
Yeah. It just means the winners.
Yeah, they just
jump down. Yeah, it's a national holiday. It's easy. Yeah. So let's say if we do go through to Sunday, could we actually win the World Cup? Now I know you get really nervous by me saying this. You looked
Yeah, a little bit. I don't think we will win it. That's the. I think we'll get.
If we get through to Sunday, that'd be amazing. That'd be an achievement.
Oh, to make this, we've only ever made one final, you know, which we won. So yeah. I think if we make it, I think we'll lose.
Belgium will pip us.
Not even pip. I think it's pip. I think we could lose quite heavily.
Oh, that really hurts.
That was like taking a knife.
Sorry,
Tom. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean. The way the tour's panned out has worked well for England, and I think whoever wins tonight's game, France Belgium, will win the tournament. I just think both those teams are on a higher level. But at the same time, finals are weird games.
All they need is someone to have a bad day.
Listen, you never know. The night before, they could get food poisoning. They could get sending off in the first minute. They could, I don't know.
So, Richard, we're going to be coming to look at you if suddenly they all go down with suspicious food poisoning.
That'd be a great idea. Richard, it's me. Suddenly. What can I say? Where are you guys watching the game tomorrow night?
I'm watching it at home because I'm doing a live blog for ESPN.
Ooh,
so yeah, no, so it won't be a particularly sociable experience.
Didn't we have someone from ESPN on last week?
Alison, who's out there. What's her name? I want to say Bender.
Alison Ali Bender. Yeah. Yes, very same.
Don't know why I pointed that. Yes.
Ali Bender.
We all know Ali Bender. Okay. So where are you watching the game tomorrow night?
At the other radio station.
Am
I allowed to say the name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fine. So I'm there until 7. I think I'll probably stay there and watch it there. Which kind of doesn't know. That's not quite the story, like you said, in years to come when you tell that story. Where did you watch
you really
it?
Oh, I was working. Us. No.
Yeah.
I think we probably win this, though, don't we?
Yeah.
With where we're watching
it. Where are you watching it?
We're watching it at Justin Timberlake's concert. Oh, so it was a bit of a schedule.
It's flat. Oh, yeah, me and JT.
I invited Rachel to come with me. We're going with Ellie Saab. And hadn't really thought through. I mean, non-football fan, would plan my wedding in June or July. And definitely didn't think, oh, no, on that Wednesday, I probably shouldn't go and see Justin Timberlake. Anyway, it was all booked. And then suddenly realised my error. Yeah. But luckily, Justin tweeted today saying that actually we can all watch it there. So they're putting a big old screen up.
Yeah.
Good old thanks, JT.
Good old. He's a good lily. He's a good.
Thanks,
although
mate.
We're not quite sure about if there is penalties. It's going to be the longest concert known to man. It really is. But it'll be good.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it will really shape our enjoyment of the concert, whether or not we win.
Would you get upset? The girl, like, because I know you're not like a huge football fan, but you're really.
I
love how you're in.
I really would. I got devastated when was it? We came out of the either semis or finals. This is going to be a crap story.
We're all here, though, waiting for you.
I think it was to Portugal. It was in, like, 2004, 2006, something like that.
Yeah.
And I vividly recall sitting, leaning against a snooker table on the King's Road, watching it on a massive screen, and then we lost.
It's a shit story.
Hey!
On that note, we've come to the end of the show. Richard and Tom, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And Tom, I'll let you off that, you know, you're not supporting England. I heard he said he hates all of us. I'm obviously only just saying that. Please don't quote me on it. I'm going to leave you all on a song. I've got a song here called Eat My Goal, Collapsed Lung.
That's a banger.
Oh, okay, I'm really
cool.
A banger.
Okay,
a
I'm going to play this.
Certified
we'll
banger.
See you guys next week for the World Cup show from 4 p.m. See you soon. Bye. With a big time tools, can't hide, caught offside, down with the heart and the pride. I know you got soul, I know you can eat my goal. But that's be a grudge who I've been told in the nick of time, pick a time, pick a fine rhyme, sick of mine. Giving up the possibility to resign, making out I know something you don't. Making out you cope with a joke, but you won't. A bit too mean, a bit too smooth for the rough shot rhymes as they hit you. May or may not be amused. Now ask me, cause me plain bemused.
Say ho! Knowledge this thing.